You know, it was how many years ago? 17 years ago, honey, that I stood with my wife on our wedding day, and we said, I do. And it was on that day that I professed my undying love for her. And I've always thought to myself, isn't that good enough? I've always thought, you know, I've said it once. Do I really need to keep showing it? So, yes, I do. And so I went out and I did. I bought my wife some flowers today and I bought her some candies because isn't this a great thing to show that I love my wife and I want to show her kindness. And so these are for you and I love you. And today we get to talk. Oh, we better put this on the ground because it's really tall. Today we're going to be talking about kindness, specifically in 2 Samuel chapter 9. It is one of the coolest things. Yes. No, we did 7 and 8 together. Were you not there? I went by it pretty fast. Oh, and I do apologize because I went over my sermon last Sunday and I know that it was a horrible sermon. So my deepest apologies. It sounded good in my head, but it didn't quite come out right. So, you know, that's okay. But 2 Samuel 8 was essentially a fulfillment of what happened in 2 Samuel 7 when God says, I'm going to give you rest amongst your enemies. And then David went out and conquered the surrounding peoples, and God gave him rest from that. You don't remember that? We even read it. we read the whole chapter. We read the whole chapter. We did talk about it, yes. So, no, I didn't do it after church. But the reason why I want to do it is so we get to 2 Samuel 9 today so that we can understand this. Now, we will be doing a little bit differently. I won't just be doing a bunch of lecture because we want to have the kids involved. We want to make sure that we're asking questions that they can understand and they could track with us. So that's the reason why we've got some stuff set up for you. David, a while back, had made a vow to Jonathan. And he said, Jonathan, I will show kindness to you forever and ever, not only to you, but also to any subsequent generation that comes. This is the fulfillment of that promise, albeit 15 years later, but it is still something that David wanted to do for Jonathan. So I'm going to read through this and then we'll ask some questions and see if we can understand it a little bit more. 2 Samuel 9. So if you got your Bibles, read along with me. David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? Your servant, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. So King David had him brought before from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, your servant, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for, and Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. So, first of all, let's make sure that we get some understanding questions. You ready for me, Jason? All right, here we go. First question, why was David looking for a family member of Saul? And if the kids know the answers, let's see if we could get some of them to answer. Why was David looking for a family member of Saul? Yes, Emily. Extra candy for you tonight. Well done. Yes. David was looking for him because he had made the vow to Jonathan that he would show kindness to him forever and ever. And remember back in those days, as Emily mentioned, the rule was any family members left of the old dynasty were supposed to be dead. So A, he wanted to seek him out not to kill him, but to actually show him kindness. And so then the question becomes, who did he find? Kids? Who did he find? Besides Emily. Very good, Emily. She's getting water and answering questions. Who did he find? Jacob. Mephibosheth. Everyone say it together. Mephibosheth. What a great name. And what was his disability? What was his disability? He was crippled in both feet. Now, bonus question. How did he get crippled in both his feet? What? The nurse dropped him. Now, this was several chapters ago. If you remember, there was that weird little story, and I said we weren't going to cover that story until we hit the here. But the reason why he was crippled was because Saul and Jonathan were out on the battlefield, and then news came that Saul and Jonathan died. The nurse picked up Mephibosheth, knowing, I better get this kid out of here fast before they come and hunt him down, because whoever takes over is going to want to kill Mephibosheth. The nurse picks him up and is running out, drops him and falls on him, and the kid becomes crippled in both of his feet. Now, yeah, that is, it's sad, isn't it? It's very sad. Now, why did he want to show Mephibosheth kindness? Yes, Joshua. I think that might be part of the answer, because he knew that he was crippled and probably knew he wasn't a threat, but there's probably even more. Emily. Absolutely. So he wanted to show respect to him and kindness to him because of that vow. And so, another probing question, see if you can answer this. How wealthy was Mephibosheth? Oh. Corwin, how wealthy was Mephibosheth? He was poor. How could you tell that he was poor from the text we read? He's living in a, did you catch that? He's not, the guy doesn't even own his own house. He's living in the house of Machir, and if you would think back in those days, one of the problems with society was that if you could not be a physical producer, you were the outcast. If you were poor, blind, crippled, deaf, shriveled hand, palsy, scabs, dandruff, acne, if you had any of that stuff, you would be considered part of the outcast. And what would happen is, because you couldn't be around other people, and because you may not be able to physically work, the only thing left for you to do is to rely upon the good graces of everyone else. And that's the reason why back in those days they had a practice that they said, that they called collection of alms. And that was to help out the crippled and the blind and the lame. So, Mephibosheth was not wealthy whatsoever. Now, specifically, how did David show kindness to Mephibosheth? We'll let adults answer too. Why not? George! Now, could you imagine that? There you are as Mephibosheth. You don't own a house, and all of a sudden you're now being shown kindness. You get a whole ton of land. Now, that's significant. I know it's significant today if you were given a whole hunk of land, but back then that was the only way you made money. The equivalent today would be if I gave you a business. That would be kind of the equivalent. You would be able to work it, you would be able to generate money off of it, Of course, for them, for land, they're going to be able to grow food from it. And that was one of the promises, that he would be able to restore the land. What else did he do? How else was kindness shown? Jacob. Letting him eat at his table every day. Now, if you are the king, who gets to eat at the table? Jacob. The king and? Who is it, Bob? And his family. That's right. Yes, Joshua, is that what you were going to say? Yeah, the queen gets to be there. Of course, I don't know which queen David brought in to, because he had a couple of queens. But the queen, and then the family, when you had a time back then, you would have, the family would be the most important thing. So in that instance, what was the significance of eating at the table? That showing of kindness, what is David essentially doing with Mephibosheth by allowing him to eat at the table? What is he effectively saying? You are part of the family. You are now restored. You are now a prince once again. And what was Mephibosheth's response? Yes. Yes, he says, and he uses a phrase that we don't use nowadays, which is, what are you doing that you would notice a dead dog like me? That is essentially a very humble response to say, I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it. Why are you doing such kind things for me? Now, this is where it gets really practical, because there are a lot of people in life who are part of the outcast. There are a lot of people who need to have kindness shown to them. And the question is, are we willing to show them kindness? Kids, I think that you could probably think in your class or at your school, people who are on the outside. Maybe they dress funny. Maybe they talk funny. Maybe they don't have any friends whatsoever. Maybe they have a hard time talking. What would be a way that we could show kindness to those people? Emily. And what would be a great thing that you could do to show kindness to that person? Yeah, you could help him out. You can make sure that other people don't trick him or fool him, and you be nice to him. What else, Jacob? You can go out on the field with them. You can play with them. Michael. If he needs help in something, whether he needs help moving around, or whether he needs help in homework. Yes? You would give him food? Now, that's coming from Joshua. Now, that is a lot of love being shown there, that Joshua would give up his food. Emily? Absolutely. All right, adults. What can we do to help show kindness, maybe specifically to our spouse, to our children, or maybe to our coworkers? What are some very specific ways that we can, like David, show kindness to someone else? It's for the adults, Jocko. Yes, Louise. Listen. Yeah, we don't do that a lot nowadays. We don't show kindness by listening, and you're not allowed to poke Harold when you do that. Yes, Heather. Show honor. Exactly. Yes, Raphael. What was that? Yeah, be considerate of them. Just be kind to, you know, we've lost this sense of kindness to other people. I mean, out of curiosity, do any of you have the problem that I have that like you start off in the car and you're like regular goofy, and then you get in the fast lane and you turn into evil Goofy? You know that cartoon where he turns into this madman, and all of a sudden every kind bone in our body just goes out the window, and we're not even kind and considerate to the people around us. Alex. Take them out for ice cream. I think ice cream covers over a multitude of sins. More candy for Alex. He wins that one. You guys did very well. I think that we as a society need to start looking at... I know that right now there's a lot that's happening within the government that is trying to make sure that there are safety nets for the people that need it. You know what would be really fascinating is if the government never needed to get involved in the first place. If the churches said, you know what, I see a need, I see something that needs to be helped out in, I will be the one to step forward and show kindness. And I think that, again, we can get invited back to the table. I'm anxious for this to happen. I would love to see, again, Christianity be invited back into the world of discussion. But right now we don't have it because I think that in many ways Christians are just unkind. And if we have the opportunity to show kindness as David showed kindness to Mephibosheth, that would be huge. Further understanding, this is where you got those little note cards in front of you. We're going to try something. What I want you to do is I want you to come up with, as a table, get some discussion going. I want you to find five similarities between us and Mephibosheth. Now, it's not us and David. I'm not asking how can we show kindness, but how is it that we are shown kindness much like David was shown kindness to Mephibosheth? To help you out, the 5 points, I've given you five scripture passages up on the screen. Those will lead you now. Maybe you could come up with the five without even looking these up. But what I'm hoping that you'll do is you're going to look up these passages, get everyone involved, get the kids looking up the passages, and I want you to ask the question, what are five ways that we are like Mephibosheth? And see if you can come up with all five of those passages, five things, and write them down on the note card and so that we can figure it out together, all right? So start now. That number five was a real deep one, and it might not be quite so obvious. So let's see if we could do. Did y'all get through all five, or some only at four? Or you got four? Well, that's okay. Let's see if we can walk through these. Now, this is important. This is one of those chapters that you read, and you realize that a basic concept is, yes, we are supposed to show kindness to other people, no matter who they are, no matter what their state in life is. But it is also a very amazing picture of God's love for us. In many ways, Mephibosheth is like us, and we are like Mephibosheth. God is like David, and God shows kindness to us in amazing ways, the same way that David showed kindness to Mephibosheth. So we're going to see if we can find those five ways, the similarities between us and Mephibosheth. So the first passage was, next one should be black. Skip forward. There we go. John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. How are we like Mephibosheth? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, just like David chose Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was not sitting around going, hey, what about me? I'm really good. Look at me. I'm the cripple. You got to show kindness to me and I deserve all this. No, he didn't do that at all. In fact, he was very humble in it. And Mephibosheth didn't seek out David at all. David sought him out. And that is exactly how it is with us. In another passage, it talks about how God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still crippled, while we still had deformities and defects in our spiritual life, he came and sought us out. And I think that is an amazing lesson that sometimes we fail to see. It is God that came and chose us first and foremost. All right, second verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. What is another similarity between us and Mephibosheth? Yes, Emily. Yes. Yes, we both, us and Mephibosheth, are both weak. We're all crippled. There is nothing, as the Bible says, there's nothing about us that is deserving of God's love. There's nothing about us that causes us to stand out and be special. God first and foremost chooses us, and then he chooses us because we are weak. And it is in our weakness that we then have God's power work through us. So Mephibosheth was nothing, and we are nothing. That is a very important spiritual concept. Now, again, this flies in the face of what a lot of people believe. A lot of people believe that humanity is generally good. That humanity, people are generally nice and kind people. And I don't believe it one bit. And the reason why I don't believe this is because I have yet to see a parent teach their 3-year-old how to be selfish. Wouldn't that be a great lesson? Like, come here, son, I'm going to teach you now how to be selfish. I'm going to teach you how to hit other people when they take your toys. I'm going to teach you how to throw a fit and be a whiny brat. Wouldn't that be a great lesson to actually sit down and teach? Like, son, you're too nice. I'm going to teach you how to be. No, ingrained in every single one of us is that we are nothing. We are brats. We are self-centered. And like Mephibosheth, we are deserving of nothing because we landed on the wrong side. You and I have a problem, a defect called sin. And I don't care. You can whine about it all you want. I've done it myself. Some of the times I say, well, that's not fair. I wasn't there in the garden. If I was there in the garden, I would have slapped Eve around and said, don't eat the fruit, you stupid woman. And all the women were like, and if I was there, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit because I don't even know what that would have done to my hips and that would have been really bad. I know that none of you would have made the mistake, but apparently Adam and Eve did, and you and I all suffer from this defect, this problem. And we are on the wrong side. You and I landed on the side of humanity. And we've got a crippling defect. Third similarity that we are like Mephibosheth. Going back to Job 22:23, there should be an I on there. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. How are we like Mephibosheth? Yeah, we get restored. Mephibosheth Now, I have to admit, Mephibosheth was only 5 years old when that whole thing happened when he got crippled. I wonder if he grew up thinking to himself, I could have been a prince. I could have ultimately one day become king. I deserve to be living in a palace. I deserve servants watching out after me. I deserve to eat Big Macs on a daily basis. But he didn't. But at the end, what was that? Mephibosheth just thought he, I don't know if he did. I wondered if he dreamt that. But ultimately, he was restored. Not because of anything good he did, but simply out of David's grace that he got everything restored to him. And a whole lot more. This is a concept in biblical circles called the Great Exchange. We get everything that Christ deserved. And Christ got everything we deserved. The Great Exchange. Alex. Yeah. The amazing part of this is that we are like Mephibosheth and God is like David, and just how much God comes into our lives and to into other people's lives and shows them grace that they are undeserving of, that restores to them amazing things. And when we are humble, then great things happen. Do you remember, a quick little confession time. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about the guy at a previous church, and I was at Panera with Dawn, and I heard his voice, and I freaked out because it was him. And someone, I think it was Lynn Moore, said, well, did you go and talk to the guy? Did you go and reconcile? And I said, no, I'm a lousy person, and I didn't go up and say, well, God has a great, amazing sense of humor. Last night, because Ron Martin got called away on an emergency cruise. I wanted to know, how do I get there? And I actually told him, I said, how about this? I'll take the cruise and you can then come and preach. So anyway, I get this phone call. Can you preach on Saturday night? So I get there and guess who happens to be in that church service? That guy. And it was really amazing because afterwards he came out and I looked at him and I said, I am so sorry that I was an arrogant, nasty pastor. And he said, I am so sorry because I purposely pushed all your buttons. I purposely aggravated you to no end. And I pray that you would forgive me. And I said, I pray that you would forgive me. And that's what happens when God's love comes in and transforms our life. We go from being crippled, ineffective, exiled nobodies to going back to sitting at the King's table fully and completely restored. Yeah, God doesn't really like to let those things lie, especially when I say them publicly. Yeah, God has an interesting way, especially with me, saying, you're going to say that publicly, I'm going to have to make you go back and confess and repent and have relationships restored. Yeah. That's exactly how the Lord works. He wants to have restoration. And I could tell you the story, I hope Heather doesn't mind, of her restoration Facebook. Remember that? Where a guy had thrown an Egg McMuffin at her in high school and had been plagued for years and years and years and finally reconnected on Facebook and apologized. And I told her she should have sent back a message saying that she hadn't been able to walk into a McDonald's for years. She was so traumatized by the Egg McMuffin. that's why I'm not God, and that's a very good thing. But no, they reconciled and restored, because that was this idea of showing kindness and showing restoration, showing reconciliation and forgiveness. Last one, this one was obscure, but I think I have a textual basis for this, and that was Romans 8:17. Now, this one ties in, just so you know, with the very last verse of 2 Samuel 9. I'm going to read that last verse of 2 Samuel 9. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. All the commentators agreed on this one, that it's awfully strange that it would mention that he would be eating at the table and that he was crippled in both feet. It seems like a strange combination of concepts. And they all come back to the same thing. And what do you think that is? What is the final way that you and I are like Mephibosheth? You going to give a stab at it, Emily? Go! Yes, that's good. That probably goes more with the other one, that we're adopted. Keep going on that. Yes, Luis? Oh, I'm sorry. That's what we're... Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one, didn't I? Ha! Yes, I'm sorry. This one was number 4. Yes, we are adopted. So you're absolutely right, Emily. We are adopted. Yeah, stupid me. Yes, we are all adopted as God's children. Deepest apologies. They are right. So that's the fourth way we are adopted and brought into God's family. And then finally, the last one. This one's the trick one. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim and admonishing on teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. How are we also like Mephibosheth? Jacob, you can't answer because I was sitting at your table and gave you the answer. So see if we can get someone else. And how does this tie into the fact that Mephibosheth ate at the table and his feet were crippled? George.
Well, I thought it is that we are made perfect in him.
Yes. When you're sitting at the table, take a look at the people sitting at your table. Can you see their feet? You cannot see their feet. All the commentators agree on this. This is why at the very end does it say, and Mephibosheth ate at the table and he was crippled in both feet? It seems like such a strange pairing. But everyone agrees that when Mephibosheth was sitting at the table, at that point he was technically, according to David, no longer disabled. He was now perfect in Christ. And when we come to God and are invited to sit at His table, God no longer looks at us as imperfect, disabled people, but as perfect heirs, adopted children of God. Take a moment now. I want you to go around your table real briefly and share with the people at your table how you have shown kindness or have been shown kindness in God. And then we're going to be ending in prayer. So do that real quickly. Share a time that you showed kindness to someone else or were shown kindness by someone else.
All right, why don't we close in prayer, and then we'll go into our time of communion. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are so kind to us, and that you love us just as David loved Mephibosheth. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to show kindness to other people, that we would always remember that the only reason why we can be kind to others is because you've been first kind to us. So I ask that as we celebrate communion, as we partake, that we would always remember that you have been so, so good to us. And you have loved us even though we are dead dogs, even though we have nothing lovable about us. So I pray that you would remind us daily of that love so that we can show kindness to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.